Why is the progressive left melting down into anarchy, rebellion, and lawlessness? We'll talk about it this hour.
We've had an invasion of 300 to 500,000 is the estimate, foreign nationals penetrating and coming across America's southern border.
For one party to say, hey, we don't like the laws, or we're just going to make up the laws, we're going to go with anarchy, and to the point now of unfettered violence in the streets. And this is something that America hasn't known historically.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan's two guests this hour have appeared on this program previously. They return today to provide their perspective on new issues facing America. Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann and former Homeland Security Agent Phil Haney join Jan to discuss some of those new challenges impacting our nation. Michelle Bachmann was a presidential candidate in 2012 and previously represented Minnesota's 6th District in Congress. Phil Haney retired from Homeland Security. He's written a bestseller, See Something, Say Nothing. A Homeland Security officer exposes the government's submission to jihad. Michelle and Phil are here to discuss the political left's assault on the USA. To get the conversation started, here is Jan Markell.
For these members of his cabinet who remain and try to defend him, they're not going to be able to go to a restaurant. They're not going to be able to stop at a gas station. They're not going to be able to shop at a department store. The people are going to turn on them. They're going to protest. They're going to absolutely harass them until they decide that they're going to tell the president, no, I can't hang with you. This is wrong. This is unconscionable. We can't keep doing this to children.
And welcome to the program. So glad you can join me for the hour. And I have an interesting hour. Let me just sort of set the stage with a short introduction, if you will, because our country is enjoying, quite frankly, renewed prosperity, even security, but many are not happy, as you heard in the voice there of Maxine Waters, representative from California. In fact, I maintain a dark cloud hangs over America, a cloud of lawlessness, rebellion, even anarchy. You've all seen it. I'm sure you're tired of seeing it. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, so it's no wonder that some Americans are turning to literal witchcraft to fight back. Some of you know that back on October the 20th, witches conducted ceremonies to curse Judge Brett Kavanaugh, and they have held similar ceremonies to curse President Donald Trump. So conservatives, as you know, if you're following the news, they're beaten, chased out of restaurants, having death threats, and some, if you remember, were nearly killed the summer of 2017, just practicing for a baseball game. Well, one can see an online video of a Ted Cruz hater engaged in what appeared to me a demonic rant against the Texas senator. You have to almost see it to believe it. I'm going to unpack this and much, much more with two in-studio guests for the hour. One is the familiar voice of Michelle Bachmann, who represented Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, ran for president in 2012. My other in-studio guest is Phil Haney. He is the author of the incredible book that came out in 2016, See Something, Say Nothing. Welcome, both of you, to the studios of Understanding the Times Radio.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Yeah, glad you can be here. I am seeing the left, the progressive left, seemingly destroy everything in its path. I mean, they're on a rant. I already referenced anarchy, lawlessness, rebellion. Michelle, you've been in politics, starting with Minnesota state politics, a lot of years. We haven't seen anything like this ever.
No, this is a societal disintegration happening in front of our eyes. And because we have more eyes than ever through all of the social media and through our cell phones, our eyes are able to pick up this level of lawlessness. When Barack Obama was president, I say this not to be partisan, but what I saw as a member of Congress is that he, as president, was fomenting lawlessness out of the White House. He famously said, as you remember, at the very beginning of his presidency, he didn't like the marriage law. in America. Mm-hmm. And so he was going to order Eric Holder, his attorney general, not to uphold it. That was rank lawlessness. And we saw that time and time again throughout his presidency. And so there was permission granted, if you will, for one party to say, hey, we don't like the laws, or we're just going to make up the laws. We're going to go with anarchy, and to the point now of unfettered violence in the streets. And this is something that America hasn't known historically.
And I see some literal clenched fists, and you know, whether that's a communist salute or whether that's just a clenched fist at God. And I'm going to quote you a little bit later. As a matter of fact, I'm going to quote you right now because you sent me an email and you referenced what I'm seeing here with this seemingly, again, it's progressive left, and you were speaking at a certain event, I'm not going to name it, but you said, I saw reprobate minds. It was Romans 1. They were God haters. You said, I've never been more fearful for the nation. And then you refer to Franklin Graham, said to me that the Lord's reprieve may end this November, referring to Election Day, November 6th, or we may get another few years, but the reprieve will end, and when it does, it won't be back. Life can change very quickly under an anti-God regime. We need to remember that life as we've known it won't be back. Can you unpack that for just a moment?
Yes, I think it really goes back to historically, Satan's sin was rebellion, rebellion against God. And that's the ultimate clenched fist, is his fist raised against a holy God who does nothing but love his creation and seek the best for his creation. Interestingly, this new social Democrat party that we hear so much about and was featured so prominently in this midterm election, their symbol is a raised clenched fist. It is rebellion. And that's what we see unleashed on the streets. Franklin Graham wanted to remind a gathering of evangelicals that God has been gracious. He listened to the prayers of his people. He granted us a reprieve in 2016. And again, we have seen biblical values come out of the current administration, whether they intended it or not. We have seen the most pro-life, the most pro-Israel, the most pro-religious liberty administration that we've seen, plus prosperity. But what Franklin Graham is saying, someday this will end. This won't go on forever. It may end in this election cycle this fall, or it may go on another 6 years. And when you look at where the population today is at in the United States, untethered to the Word of God and to norms that society has taken for granted because we were built on a biblical basis, when we untether ourselves from those norms and mores of a society that is built on a Christian heritage, then lawlessness reigns, rebellion reigns, and violence reigns. That type of anarchy is one that, again, I think the pulpits of this nation and the biblical believers of this nation, we have an obligation to transfer the gospel to the next generation. We need to do that, but we need to recognize this current generation is different than perhaps the generation you and I grew up in, one that isn't tethered at least to a cultural Christianity understanding of norms. When you have kids today who grow up and are told that perhaps they aren't even boys and perhaps they aren't even girls, and they get to choose, the most obvious clue of reality and of truth, how God made us, male and female, which the book of Genesis speaks to, if even that basic truth now is supposedly up for grabs, we are living literally in uncharted territory. Yeah. Perhaps you and I obviously weren't alive at the time of Noah. We only have what the biblical account is of Noah's day. But again, it leads us to ask again, are we coming to the days of Noah when even you have mankind questioning something as obvious as whether or not we are male or female? Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. Michelle Bachman, Phil Haney in studio with me for the hour. Phil Haney, I think what Michelle and I have been discussing here for about 8 minutes is this rise of this terrible strong delusion that's come across parts of the Western world. Let's focus on America for right now and for the hour, really. The reprobate mind, Romans 1, the strong delusion, the characteristics outlined in 2 Timothy 3. People are going to be focusing on self, love of money. They're going to be rebelling rebelling against authority, things like that. And your career started, you were with Department of Homeland Security going back to 2003. You were with FBI, and you've the incredible book that you that came out in 2016. Have you ever seen anything like the last, say, year, 2 years going on here with the rebellion, the lawlessness?
To touch back with what Michelle was referring to, she was in the political arena when she used the phrase reprobate minds and strong delusion and so on, what she saw starting to go sideways in the culture. I was there parallel with her at the same time in the law enforcement arena as a federal law enforcement officer. So she's at the highest level of the political arena. I'm literally right next door to her in the other arena, law enforcement. And I saw the shattering like a tank through the walls of a building that the Obama administration did regarding law enforcement. He didn't not only like marriage law and claim publicly that he was going to have the attorney general dismantle it, he also felt the same way about law enforcement, in particular counterterrorism. And rather than taking the information that officers like myself put into the classified database and act on it, he did exactly the opposite. First of all, he ignored it, the whole administration. Then they attempted to destroy and eliminate it, and then they began coming after the people who actually put it in. All we were doing was our job that we had taken an oath to do.
You were one they came after.
In particular, because of my focus on a special group called the Muslim Brotherhood and another one related to the San Bernardino shooting called Tabligh Jamaat.
Phil was looking at terrorist organizations. He was fulfilling his oath of office to keep the American people safe. And what it was inexplicable is that the President of the United States was doing everything he could to make sure the United States did not have this super sensitive information that would help keep us safe from terrorists.
You talk about anarchy, lawlessness, and violence. If you're going to fundamentally change a country, as he stated he intended to do, or as the Declaration of Independence would put it, to alter or abolish the current form of government, which is what their intention was and still is, where will you begin? With law enforcement. You have to take out law enforcement first, because we are the ones that defend the Constitution and help prevent threat, both foreign and domestic. If you're going to tear a society apart and alter and abolish it and create a new, more diverse and inclusive form of government, according to them, the first people aren't the politicians. They aren't the civilians, they are the law enforcement. And that's exactly what I saw
happen. And we've seen that here play out in Minneapolis, where the police literally have had their hands handcuffed behind their backs. And when there are violence and levels of anarchy, where we have seen literally protesters take over the main highways in Minneapolis-St. Paul and throw huge chunks of cement at police officers, the police restrain themselves voluntarily. Mm-hmm. They don't stop this. And that was at the direction of Barack Obama's White House.
Changing direction here for just a moment, because we were talking before our recording here, and obviously this program is airing right before a very significant election coming up November 6th. And as we discuss things ahead of time, we determined that the Kavanaugh, I'm going to use the word fiasco, was a huge turning point moment in history, but also turning point perhaps as it concerns this election. Michelle, explain why you feel that way.
It was a turning point because, again, we saw truth in front of our eyes. Their allegations were made against this upright man with nothing behind them. The proof that came forward only strengthened Kavanaugh's case. The more truth that came forward, her case fell apart. She couldn't keep her story straight. She voluntarily named witnesses that were there. They all said, no, it never happened. Four witnesses. None of her timeline added up. And so as normal, logical people watching this, compassionate people, people who want nothing bad to befall any woman. So I think you had an audience across the United States and across the world who felt for a woman who may have been violated. They listened to her. They were open to what she had to say. They bent over backwards in every possible way to give her a forum, and yet there was nothing there. And so you saw a split in the population, so that it didn't matter if she had proof or not. You had maybe half the population who said she has to be believed no matter what her allegation is. She has to be right and he has to go. And then you saw the rest of the population say, just a minute, above the Supreme Court building, it says equal justice under law. We have a presumption of innocence until proven guilty. And so there was a whole segment of the population saying this man who worked his way up to this position has to leave because some unfounded allegation was made against him. And so the country was divided. And so people saw lawlessness. Mm-hmm. They saw lawlessness at the level of the Supreme Court nomination. Mm-hmm. And so people were fixed on that shining moment. It was a flash moment of this is the direction America is going to go. Either we are going to lose our rights under the law based upon what ideas we hold. If we're with the right political party, maybe we'll be protected. If we're not with the right political party, we probably won't even have equal justice under law. And a lot of people said, wait a minute, this is a step too far. We can't lose this. Because again, what separates us from third world basket cases? It is the law, equal justice under law. And when you scuttle that in favor of political ideology, you've lost it all. And I think that was the moment for a lot of Americans who said, oh my goodness, I think these elections could matter. And so I'm going to go ahead and wake up and get involved. And I think that's when you saw the moment when the elections played into the Kavanaugh hearing. Mm. It wasn't intentional.
Sure.
It happened because of the lawlessness that was on display during that hearing.
Mm-hmm. Phil Haney, you agree with that?
Absolutely. It was just an expression. It's kind of like a rising tide. And people a little bit further up the hill didn't think maybe the tide mm-hmm. would rise to their house. But then when they saw the water up on the porch and coming into their living room, they realized we're not immune to this either. Mm-hmm. We thought we were a little bit above it all and wouldn't come nigh unto us. But they realized, I'm threatened by this flood of anarchy and lawlessness too. And if we don't start standing up and taking some action and going back to a checks and balances mm-hmm. form of government, we're all sunk. We're all going to be inundated by this rising tide. And it was enough is enough moment. I've been wondering quite a long time when enough would really be enough. Mm-hmm. And I think we actually just saw a display of it. People turned into statesmen right in front of our eyes that heretofore not necessarily were standing up for constitutional principles or even basic courtesy and human rights like Lindsey Graham. He's going to be remembered through history for that 4 minute or so, enough is enough. I've had enough of this. This has got to stop. And people all across the country were cheering it because they agree.
Again, this was all on camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if
live.
You can have the finest man with an unblemished record, a perfect performance history, a perfect personal mm-hmm. life, and if he can be taken down on baseless accusations, that could be true of any American if any American does not hold the political beliefs of whoever is currently in power. That was frightening. That cuts completely contrary to what the United States of America stands for. That was our flashpoint.
Plus, mothers, daughters, wives, and friends that are women realize if this thing sets a precedent, nobody's safe. All they have to do is point a finger at you. You know, you're guilty. All we have to do is say you did it, and you have no defense. And it crossed the line in the worldview of America. This really is too much. These people are completely out of hand.
Well, here's where I want to get to in our second segment, because, and I appreciate your input on all we've discussed here, first segment. But I'm going to use the term planned invasion going on as we speak, just how it's going to end. I think we have some idea how it might end, but we've got anywhere between 10 and it could swell to 15, even more, thousand, folks from Central America trying to get into America. I want to talk about that when we get back. Again, it's being called a planned invasion. And I'm going to have some comments and questions for my two guests. They include Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Just a quick reminder, every Saturday morning, all new Understanding the Times radio programs are uploaded to our website, olivetreeviews.org. at olivetreeviews.org, this program can be downloaded to be shared with your church, friends, or family members. Audio and video recordings of our September 29th Understanding the Times conference are still available. Visit our website for details on how you can order conference CDs and DVDs. You can order those same products by calling 763-559-4444. This broadcast is made possible only through the generous gifts of our listeners. Please consider making this ministry a part of your charitable giving. Your tax-deductible donations are welcome when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jen returns with Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney right after this short timeout.
Welcome to Understanding the Times 2018.
I'm here with my friend Tim. Tim has come all the way from Iowa. Nick and Tina from Vancouver, Canada.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota.
I'm Darlene from New Jersey.
I'm with some friends from Detroit, Michigan.
I'm from the great state of Texas.
Brandon, is this the first time you've been here?
No, I've been here several times.
Glenn, how many times have you been to the conference?
About 19.
Pia, you're all the way from Switzerland. Why in the world would you come from Switzerland to Minnesota to this conference?
It was for me important to be together with so many people which have the same hope.
Jack Hibbs gives the message in a way that is understandable, that is real.
You know, have courage, stand on the gospel, and fight.
So many things Amir said brings this book to life.
It was very clear, and he's a great storyteller. I loved it.
Without Christ, you have no peace. And so it's always important for us to be sharing that gospel message.
Listening to Jan and Amir and Jack Hibbs and JD, we realized we needed to find a church that preached the Bible, that actually taught the Bible.
And we got excited again about how important our blessed hope is and how soon we may all see our King.
Jesus is coming. It's a huge theme in the Bible. For Israel, and he's coming for the church, and we know it as a rapture.
Be sure to join us next year, September 21st, 2019, for Understanding the Times.
Almost 5,000 people gathered from around the world on Saturday, September 29th, to be encouraged and to learn to become watchmen on the wall. We will be ready to ship CDs and DVDs of this event around November 1st. Our speakers included Amir Sarfati.
I believe 1948 was a great sound of the trumpet. 1967 was a great sound of the trumpet. If I may say, 2018 was a great sound of trumpet as well. All I'm waiting for is the last trumpet.
Pastor Billy Crone.
Maybe it's going to be Watson who's going to help the Antichrist control the buying and selling. It's not far-fetched, folks, when you take a look at the technology.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
I believe the rapture can happen at any time because of the current situation in Syria, specifically concerning Damascus.
Eric Barger.
They are a surveillance society beyond all others, and I remember whispering about this to myself and then saying it to you and others. This is made for the Antichrist.
Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Jesus Christ is coming back in judgment in his second coming. The rapture, he receives us in the atmosphere to himself to take us where he's been.
Order in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can also call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. They will be offered in our print and e-newsletters. Sign up online. You can mail in your order as well. We live in unprecedented times. Headlines are a herald of his coming. These messages will encourage you to see that nothing is falling apart. Things are all falling together. Order today and don't be left behind.
U.S. Southern Command. They kept statistics on illegal border crossing in the southern border. 315,000 people came over the border. This is 3 years ago. 10% of those were from what we call special interest countries, meaning non-Latin American countries. That's 31,000 people from places that President Trump specifically mentioned in his executive order to look at immigration, especially from these particular countries overseas that don't have functioning governments. And here we had 31,000, according to the U.S. Southern Command, crossing over the border in 15.
Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney continue to engage with Jan on current events. You don't want to miss this second segment. Once again, Jan Markell.
These forces of intolerance remain determined to undermine and roll back the progress you all have made. This time, they, not you, have an ally in the White House. This time, they have an ally. They're a small percentage of the American people, virulent people, some of them the dregs of society. And instead of using the full might of the executive branch to secure justice, dignity, safety for all, the president uses the White House as a literal bully pulpit, callously exerting his power over those who have little or none.
Continuing my discussion in studio with my two very special guests, and I gave a little tease in that first segment that I want to talk a little bit about this invasion that's kind of going on as I speak. By the way, that was Vice President Joe Biden calling conservatives the dregs of society. Civility clearly is history. I had said in that first segment that we've got anywhere between 10 and it could swell to even 20,000 coming from Central America. Caravan of migrants for weeks been heading from Central America. Some are calling this a caravan jihad. Some of those in the human chain acknowledge they've talked to people who are part of MS-13. They've talked to people of Middle East origin. They've talked to blatant thugs and criminals who are a part of this human invasion. And the left celebrates all of this. Donald Trump is standing firm, and people like myself and my guests are called bigots and racists for trying to protect our borders. And then we have evangelical outfits, as one writer calls it. Well, you can rent an evangelical being done by George Soros, all saying this is normal and a good thing for America. Michelle, we've talked immigration before. I've had others on this program, Brigitte Gabrielle and many others, Leo Homan talking about the planned invasion. This is a little bit different in that it's literally a horde. It's not 10, 20, even 100, 500 trying to creep across a border. Your perspective on this, please?
This is a planned attack against the United States border and the sovereignty of the United States border, pure and simple. There's been an attack that's gone on for a long time. I've made multiple trips to the border. I've talked with border security agents. Phil will have a lot to say about this as well. But there's no question, there are people who are globalists who want to see the United States borders end, and they want to have people pour in. We're a nation of 326 million people. There are 7 billion people around the planet who would love to come into the United States. Why? Because the minute they come in, they have full access to welfare benefits that the world could only dream of. There are two sociologists named Cloven and Piven. They have what they've called the strategy of overwhelming the welfare state. That's happening now. The United States spends $135 billion a year at minimum paying for illegal aliens that come into the United States. There's tremendous costs in the United States in terms of crime, rape, murder, theft, drunk driving, but we also pay another price in welfare benefits. They have instant access to our public schools, which our local tax dollars pay for, to our hospitals for full-on medical care. I've seen them come across the border. I've seen what happens to them. What happens is they immediately get medical care. They immediately get food. They immediately get showers. They immediately get rest. Then I've watched Border Patrol as they find out where the people are coming from, and they buy them bus tickets and they buy them plane tickets and take them to these transportation corridors so that they can go and meet their relatives in the United States. So the United States government effectively, at least under the Obama years, was working as a courier service in cooperation with the human smugglers through Central America and Mexico, who were getting paid literally billions of dollars to illegally ferry people into the United States. This is the number one issue facing the United States.
Mm-hmm. Bill Haney, you were in the first sort of Department of Homeland Security back in 2003. You see this happening on our border. Obviously, the first thing you think of would be safety issues, correct?
This is a big question. Let's go back to 2015 and look at U.S. Southern Command. They kept statistics on illegal border crossing in the southern border 315,000 people came over the border. This is 3 years ago. 10% of those were from what we call special interest countries, meaning non-Latin American countries. That's 31,000 people from places that President Trump specifically mentioned in his executive order to look at immigration, especially from these particular countries overseas that don't have functioning governments. And here we had 31,000, according to the U.S. Southern Command, crossing over the border in 15. Now let's fast forward a little bit and look at the platform of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. Stop all immigration enforcement. That goes right up to Dianne Feinstein.
Repeat that, Phil, what you just said. Stop
all enforcement of immigration law.
And that means?
Flat out. No more enforcement. What it leads to, by default, is a default open border. There's not going to be any monitoring or watching of people crossing the border. Shut down all immigration enforcement. Shut down ICE in particular, although there are two other agencies that are sister agencies with ICE, which is the Border Patrol and my former agency, Customs and Border Protection. There's three of us wound together like a cord that work together. Their other platform is open borders, no walls. Don't you see the signs from the Antifa protesters? No walls, no borders, not our president. That takes us right to back where we started about the anarchy, chaos, and violence.
80% of those who come across the border are gang age males.
That's right.
That's a fact.
Yes.
80% in this current invasion, but 80% every day of the week are gang age males coming into the United States. And many have established beachheads for drug cartels all across the United States.
Well, there are many who are objecting to the terminology we're even using, invasion. You know who's going to pick this up and be in headlines because they
then
don't...
I'll be worse. I'll say it's an attack. Yeah. It isn't an invasion. This is an attack
they
against
American
sovereignty.
They see it. The left, the progressive left, sees this as needy people wanting to start their life all over again in peace and prosperity with no malice towards anyone. Go ahead, Phil.
My third point of contact with this question is the Constitution itself. In Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15 or sentence 15, it says that the Congress has a right to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, that would include immigration law, and to suppress insurrections and to repel invasions. If you have a group of people, somewhere between 5 and 15,000, with one sole purpose in mind, is to literally
breach our border.
Come right across the border with no restrictions and then have the audacity to expect us to provide all social benefits to them as if though it's a constitutional right that they should be allowed to enter. That's the first article. But then we have another provision in immigration law called 8 U.S.C. 1182. And that is, in a nutshell version, provides the authority of the president to refuse entry to any group or class of people that poses a national security threat to America.
As we were talking off air earlier, and I think you feel strongly that President Trump, Michelle Bachmann, is probably going to send the military to intervene. Am I right?
I do. The president doesn't make empty threats.
Yeah.
He was very angry when he saw this group, this invasion group, making its way up north because this is defiance. This is rebellion. Mm-hmm. Again, what we talked about in your opening segment, this is rebellion against the laws of the United States. No one has a right to come in to the United States. We have legal means of entry. These are lawless people that are blowing through those. Again, over 80% are gang-age males. So I believe, and I have told you this, that I think very likely people in this group will try to commit violence, or you've noticed there's some women, there's some children. Mm-hmm. I think just like in Europe, when the little three-year-old boy tragically washed up on the shores, he was used as an icon to allow millions of migrants into Europe.
That's going to happen again.
I believe that we should be prepared that some tragic incident may occur.
It and could be staged.
It could very well be staged, and they'll use that to try and hang it around President Trump's neck and around the neck of the Republicans to say, look how cruel these people are. We've got to open our doors to these people. people. And I think that could be very well what they need to do. So I think President Trump rightly is managing people's expectations. And he has said that he is going to put our military, rightly so, on our border. He said they're not coming in. They may come up, but they are not coming into the U.S. He needs to do this. I know Border Patrol told me when I was down on the border that we allow in over 1 million people legally into the U.S. every year, more than every other country combined. No other country is more generous for allowing people in, but there's a limit. But illegally, Phil mentioned the number of, I think, over 300,000. Those are the official numbers. Mm-hmm. I had Border Patrol tell me it could be 2 million that That's are right. coming in illegally. He was starting to make that point that we have people coming in who are coming in on our Mexican border, but they're from Iran. They're from Sudan. They're from Bangladesh. So think of that. They had to come from their country, and they knew how porous our southern border is. They saw that that would be a feasible means to come in. Today, we're dealing with this issue of this strange polio virus mm-hmm. that's impacting little children. We have all of these strange diseases that were cured in the United States, and they're here. Why? Because literally millions of people are coming into the United States illegally. They aren't vetted. They aren't checked. The American people are paying the price for that lawlessness.
Indeed. Phil Haney, do you see a time when the FBI and other agencies could return to a place where, I'm going to use the term, where we could trust them? I mean, here they've taken out references to Islam in their training manuals, things like this. I mean, we've seen our Justice Department be weak and beyond, I think, almost repair because of the last administration. Are you gaining any confidence in a restored Justice Department?
How many times did we hear that we would never see the economy that those of us who are a little older saw earlier in our life? We were told repeatedly those numbers will never come back. Mm-hmm. And yet, not only have they come back in a remarkably short period of time, they've surpassed the numbers that any of us have seen in our lifetime. How did that happen in a quote-unquote such a short amount of time? By the president recognizing the sovereign right of the people to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and a good, strong economy is an excellent indicator of that. There are three basic arenas that operate in our country. This is the social arena. And there's a flashpoint in that social arena that tells you that there's change going on, and that flashpoint is immigration.
Mm-hmm.
That's social. We're told constantly we need more immigrants to be more diverse and inclusive. Yeah. Don't worry about vetting them, etc. That's a flashpoint of reform. And that's what President Trump addressed almost immediately when he became president. The second arena is the political. And the political flashpoint is sovereignty. In other words, a good example is the right for United States to have its embassy in the city of Jerusalem. The whole world raged against the right
Indeed,
of Israel and America to simply have their embassy where they chose to see fit. They told us that we didn't have the right to do it. That's an attack on sovereignty, just like the caravan is an attack on sovereignty. So there is a flashpoint there, and we're seeing the battle being joined in that arena. The third arena is the law enforcement arena.
Mm-hmm.
The unique thing about the law enforcement arena is it's just chain of command, top-down hierarchy of authority. Law enforcement officers take an oath to obey the chain of command. Therefore, the reform of the law enforcement has to come from the top down. That's why this is so important that President Trump's taking the lead on this and declaring that these people will not come in. Every law enforcement officer and military person in the country is waiting for that moment when we are actually allowed to go back and do our jobs. And it's been law enforcement that the political structure has handcuffed and blindfolded. So yes, I'm very, very optimistic that just as with the economy turning around, the law enforcement arena can turn around just as quickly once we are allowed to do it. It will self-correct. 99.9% of all law enforcement officers are waiting for the permission and the command to start doing their job again. And you would be amazed how fast it would turn around.
I want to add, though, remember from the day President Trump won, the higher-ups at the Department of Justice who created a lot of this lawlessness chaos, they really took over. And that's when this whole phony Russian collusion mm-hmm. story came up. And so in a lot of sense, the Department of Justice and the FBI, we've seen how compromised they were mm-hmm. and how lawless they have acted, both prior to the 2016 2016 election and, frankly, after. In my opinion, I don't think the Department of Justice yet is under control. I think after this election, if we can keep the president's party in control of the House politically and in control of the Senate politically, I think that we will see a reordering of the Justice Department. Now, maybe the president will choose to replace his current attorney general with someone else. I'm not sure. But I do think we'll see the end of this phony Russian probe. There's nothing there after all these years of investigations. And I think we will get back to what law enforcement does well and what we need law enforcement to do well. And that's to keep public safety and to uphold the laws in this nation.
I think one of the reasons we're doing this hour, Michelle and Phil Haney, is the stressing the importance of voting on November the 6th, mm-hmm. because believers, that matter unbelievers, but 80% of evangelicals actually, I mean, a lot of evangelicals got out and voted in 2016, and they voted for Donald Trump, an imperfect man, and we're all the first to say he's an imperfect man. He says things he shouldn't, and he can be his own worst enemy, but the policies he's come along with in less than 2 years are stunning.
The most biblical we have seen in our lifetime. That is what's truly amazing, how God has used this man, mm-hmm. this administration, mm-hmm. to put forward the most biblical principles and to do it, to step out on a limb. I'm mm-hmm. sure all of your listeners watched on television or read the stories about how President Trump wouldn't stop until Pastor Andrew Brunson was released from prison in Turkey. He was falsely sentenced to a prison sentence that would have kept him in jail for 35 years. And President Trump didn't stop until he was let out of prison. And then we famously saw Pastor Brunson kneel in the Oval Office and lay his hands on President Trump and pray for him and pray for this nation. That's where I think believers are at right now. We saw that politics will never save us. We understand
Amen.
That.
Absolutely.
But our lives are better when righteous biblical principles prevail in a nation. We've had 2 years now of a test case. What we've seen out of this administration has overperformed in terms of enacting biblical values. That's helped our lives to be better. That's why I believe believers have a duty before the Lord to go out and vote biblical values. Vote according to what the Bible says, because I think, as Franklin Graham said, then maybe we can live under a reprieve for another couple of years in this nation, advance the gospel, our lives will be improved, and again, we have to answer for that. Did we vote for biblical values or didn't we vote for biblical values?
Here's where I want to go in my closing segment, and it will be a little bit of a short segment. I want to talk a little bit about foreign policy. And we've just had the resignation recently of UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. And obviously, Michelle, your name is floating out there as a replacement for Nikki. We'll do that, folks. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
One of the best ways you can support this ministry is by praying for us. When you're doing ministry that exposes lies and presents the inconvenient truth, prayer matters. As we broadcast across America every weekend, you can also pray that God will continue to meet our needs. As we produce these programs each week, please pray how you can help us maintain our financial needs. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org or phone 763-559-4444. In just a few minutes, Jan and her guest return. Please stay with us.
This ministry is carrying Amir Sarfati's new book, The Last Hour, An Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. It is a captivating look at our times from a man who lives in Israel, the land of Bible prophecy. I'm an endorser of this book. Find it in my web store, olivetreeviews.org, or give my office a call, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444 Central Time. It makes a wonderful gift item as well. With the holidays approaching, it is also offered in my print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. The Last Hour will encourage you to look up and know that our redemption draws nigh. He will connect some dots for you as it concerns events of the last days and just may convince you that it is indeed the last hour.
Let's rejoin Jan, Michelle, and Phil as they wrap up their conversation on today's edition of Understanding the Times.
But I'm most excited. Look at the 2 years. Look at what has happened in 2 years with the United States on foreign policy. Now the United States is respected. Countries may not like what we do, but they respect what we do. They know that if we say we're going to do something, we follow it through. And the president proved that, whether it was with the chemical weapons in Syria, whether it's with NATO saying that other countries have to pay their share. I mean, whether it's the trade deals, which have been amazing, they get that the president means business, and they follow through with that. But then if you look at just these 2 years at the UN, we've cut $1.3 billion in the UN's budget, made it stronger, we've made it more efficient. South Sudan, we got an arms embargo, which was a long time coming. Three North Korean sanctions packages, which were the largest in a generation, done in a way that we could really work towards denuclearizing North Korea. The Iran deal, bringing attention to the world that every country needs to understand. You can't overlook all of the bad things they're doing. You have to see them for the threat that they are. I think you look at the anti-Israel bias and the strength and courage that the president showed in moving the embassy and showing the rest of the world, we will put our embassy where we want to put our embassy. You know, all of those things have made a huge difference in the U.S. standing, but I can tell you that the U.S. is strong again, and the U.S. is strong in a way that should make all Americans very proud.
And welcome back to the last segment of Understanding the Times Radio this week. Quick reminder, the program's always posted to my website on Saturday. You can sign up for the OnePlace.com mobile app. Encourage you to do so. It's downloaded to your devices, so you're on the run, and you can hear it at your leisure and your convenience. And we try to present absolute cutting-edge type information for you weekly on this program. Again, we've been making a reference in a promo earlier in the program to Understanding the Times 2018. We do have conference products available. Remember, all the activity from September 29th is posted to YouTube. Look up on my channel, Jan Markell. You'll find all messages posted to YouTube if you feel you would rather get the information that way. We're wrapping up the hour, and Michelle, I made a tease in my last segment referring to Nikki Haley. We played a short clip of her as she's stepping down. I think it's an unfortunate time she picked right at midterms to make the announcement, not effective until first of the year. Your name is floated by all sorts of people. I was one of the first to publicly come out and recommend that you replace Ambassador Nikki Haley. Others have done so as well. You're open to this, correct?
Oh, I'm open to it because foreign policy is my interest.
That's right.
And the United Nations is not an organization that I've been a fan of for a long time.
At the same time, you're there already.
I've been there for over a year now at the United Nations, and we're trying to bring a different perspective to the United Nations. We have several ways that we're trying to do that. And so, yes, I'm very interested in it, but I also am extremely fond of the work that Nikki Haley did while she was ambassador. It wasn't very long ago I had met with her in her office at the United Nations. She has served the president very well. She represents the president's policies. She has been as forceful as the president of the United States. Perhaps the two best speeches that Donald Trump delivered were at the United Nations. He gave a full-throated defense of American sovereignty, and Nikki Haley has also given that defense. I think with the clip that you just played, she started out with all that President Trump has done through making the UN more efficient, saving money through North Korea, through the Iran agreement, but also Israel. And I think for your listeners, they have picked up on the incredible turnaround in how the United States has backed Israel. Mm-hmm. It isn't that we haven't backed them before, but this is actually being on offense, calling out how wrong it is for the United States to single out Israel as the bad guy when Israel, quite frankly, has been what's right in the Middle East. So this has been a breath of fresh air to have Nikki Haley at the UN. Everyone wishes her well. She has a tremendous future in front of her.
That's right.
And we want to make sure that the UN continues in the same vein that Nikki Haley left it. She improved it, and that needs to continue.
Who are some other names being floated for this position?
Well, the first name that was floated was Dina Habib-Powell. That she had a relationship, I think, with the Kushners.
Evangelicals spoke up.
Yes, they did. She then withdrew her name from consideration. She will not be considered. Since then, there haven't been other names. And I think in large measure, that may be because the midterms have taken precedence. And then also just the events, the international global events have been taking precedence. But we'll see. The president will make a choice and that will happen.
Well, you have been super active in the last year or two. As a matter of fact, you're flying when we finish this program. You're going to be flying to United Arab Emirates tomorrow. How many people fly to UAE? But talk to me for just a moment about why you're going there.
The president has done an incredible job in taking advantage of the dynamics that are changing in the Arab world. Mm-hmm. There are nations, whether it's Jordan, whether it's Egypt, whether it's the United Arab Emirate, even Saudi Arabia, who have indicated they want to embrace a moderate path and they want to go down a moderate path. And President Trump is trying to reach out in any way that he can with an olive branch to encourage that reform. Just for instance, the president of Egypt, El-Sisi, who has said every religion of the world has undergone reform except Islam.
That's right.
And he has called for moderation in Islam. And we've heard from other leaders in the Arab world that have also called for that as well. So I'm going over as part of an evangelical Christian delegation. I was in the first delegation that was ever received openly by the president of Egypt and by the king of Jordan. We will be the first delegation ever received by the crown prince of the United Arab Emirate. And our goal is, again, to begin the foundation stones of reaching out and speaking. We'll also, I'm sure, be bringing up religious persecution against Christians. That's really been the dynamic and the story in the Middle East, is the persecution and elimination of Christians in the Middle East. I'm sure that will come up. It isn't that we don't compromise any of our principles or any of our beliefs, but we're beginning an open door and dialogue. Again, this is huge. For an Arab leader to even agree to meet with openly evangelical Christians, this has never happened before. So we are very excited to have that possibility.
Folks, Michelle already serves at the United Nations. You can sign up for some information, perhaps some prayer alerts at skylineun.com. Skylineun.com. She kind of announced that new position actually over a year ago at my Understanding the Times 2017 event. Michelle, where do you see Middle East peace going? We've got a peace plan coming any day from Jared Kushner. Your thoughts on that?
Right now, I think that this really is the golden time and the best of times. Here in the United States, even though people see a lot of chaos that gets brought in, but we really are dealing with golden time in the United States. We're dealing with a golden time in Israel for the Jewish people. They are living in unprecedented prosperity, and actually their borders have been fairly secure, despite what's coming at them from Gaza and again at the Sinai level. So I think they've done very well. I'm also, Jan, the co-chair of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. We have endeavored to begin prayer breakfasts, reaching out to Christians and nations all across the world to think about Jerusalem and think about Israel and think about Genesis 12:3, which calls on a people to bless Israel. And then God blesses that people and they bless that nation. And so we have held Jerusalem prayer breakfasts in Jerusalem, but now we've had one in England. We went to Brazil, where we began a process of praying. And perhaps by the time this airs, there will be a new president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, who actually has said that if he is elected president, he will recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. He's the only candidate who said he would do that, and he would move Brazil's embassy to Jerusalem. That'd be huge. We had a Jerusalem prayer breakfast in Ghana. We're beginning this process of reaching out. So in fulfillment of Isaiah 2:2, which says all the nations of the earth will stream to Jerusalem.
You know, Phil, we were talking too, because you had another point you wanted to raise before the hour gets away, which it's rapidly doing, but that's an important point, because one of the reasons, again, I'm double emphasizing it, that we're here this hour is to encourage folks, you know, your responsibility, your duty is to be voting when the opportunity arises.
Well, I went on the road in April of 2016, and it's been now 2.5 years, and I've traveled all over the country, more than 35 states, and talked to hundreds of groups, and I don't know how many on the radio and TV. And one of the things I've noticed within the community of faith is that there's this reluctance or uncertainty still there that I'd like to encourage us to graduate from, whether or not we as people of faith should be involved in the political process. And a way to address that, I would suggests is to look at the Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm. where we hear about the life, the liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those values that we're endowed with. But to insecure those rights, that governments are instituted among men. Government is all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we have been blessed with a form of government that specifically highlights life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and reassured that the creator of the universe is the one that instituted government in order to protect the liberties. So if we say we believe in the creator, then it should be obvious that we should be involved in the process of government. Politics, by the way, means the affairs of the city. So let's be involved in the affairs of the city where we live. At the very least, put one point on the scoreboard and vote. And if you're called to be more involved from there, that's up to you and the Lord. But it's not a violation of your walk of faith to be involved in the political arena in some way.
I want to thank you both for stopping in today. I know you've got a tremendously busy schedule, both of you. Let me just go out of the program saying this, that the Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, they groan. God also installed government. It was his idea. But when government replaces God, he bows out and lets mankind go his own way, and it doesn't turn out well. So can we have godly government? Perfection must wait for the millennium, but in the meantime, we need to stand for biblical values when voting and selecting our leaders. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to report current events from a biblical perspective across America and the World Wide Web. This broadcast comes to you every weekend at no cost. It cost us thousands of dollars. To help us produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? This is an ever-changing world. Men and women of faith need to be aware of current events viewed through the lens of Scripture. Each week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling program to point out hidden dangers in today's culture and to bring hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're inviting you to join us in this listener-supported ministry. To become our financial partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are welcome at olivetreeviews.org. or when you phone 763-559-4444. For around-the-clock global updates with a biblical worldview, visit olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you this week. Thank you for praying for Jan and her media team. Next week, Jan Markell returns with another information and inspiration-packed hour, all designed to help you understand the times.